nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome to the Nationwide Discussion Hour on Radio Miraya. I'm Gabriel Shadar. Today we'll be shedding light on the political developments in South Sudan, especially from the viewpoint of the SPLM party, which is known as the SPLM in government, which is the biggest partner in the current transitional government of national unity. The SPLM also is also the movement which waged one of the longest liberation struggles on the African continent, that is from 1983 to 2004, and led the people of South Sudan through the CPA, that is the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, from 2006 up to the separation or independence from the Sudan in 2011. A lot of water has gone or has passed under the bridge from 2011 to today. And after two armed conflicts, that is in 2013 to 2015 and again in 2016 to 2018, the parties are now implementing the revitalized agreement on the resolution of conflict in South Sudan, which was signed in Khartoum on the 12th of September 2018. The interim period of 36 months has got another extension from February 2023 to February 2025. To explore some of the major issues in the implementation of the interim period, I have with me in the studio Honorable Peter Lamboth, the Acting Secretary General of the SPLM. Welcome, Honorable Peter Lamboth, on Radio Miraya's Nationwide.
Yeah.
Yes, welcome again. Your mic was off.
Thank you very much, Gabriel.
Yes, and of course, Peter Lam is one of the strong figures in the SPLM. He has been long in the movement, right from the early years of inception. He was also in the diaspora. He was heading the chapter of the SPLM in the America and in Canada in particular. And also he held some political positions in the country before being appointed as the interim SPLM Secretary General. And academically also he's a PhD holder, and he also is a lecturer. He was teaching in politics, in governance and other issues in Canada before coming here. Welcome, Honorable Peter Lamboth, to this program. Now, the interim period has been extended for another 2 years. So what is... which will be starting, of course, in the next coming 4 months after that. That what is the party's assessment of the achievements or challenges since the decision for the extension?
Well, thank you very much, Gabriel. The extension of the revitalized agreement to February 2025 was a consensus position reached by the parties to the agreement after an assessment that there were certain provisions in the agreement which were not implemented. One of the outstanding issues was the security arrangement, which at the time was not moving forward. But I think now we can report with certainty that that phase one is about to end. We remain with Upper Nile in terms of graduation of the unified forces, and I know that it's been scheduled for Friday this week. And once that graduation in Upper Nile is finished, then Batch 2 will enter the training. So we believe that it was a good decision to have an extension so that there was no rush, especially some of our party partners in the agreement were saying that they were not ready.
Apart from the political readiness, and when you come and speak about the political, I mean the security arrangements that were not really going according to the expectations, even during the implementation of the security arrangement itself, there are observations like people are being now graduated, but they are sent back again to the camps, and they are waiting still. Is the issue of deployment of these necessary unified forces is still remaining a political one, or it's a purely logistical and military operation?
No, I think the deployment is basically a technical issue. rather than political, because it is about logistics, it is about weaponry, systems of transportation. Once the forces are unified and they are graduated, they are under one command.
Mm.
So there is no reason for any political interference from any other circles.
Mm.
So what is there really is the process rather than politics.
Mm. Still, another observation about the people or the forces in these is that it is fluctuating. Like, people are observing, especially even the journalists, they see that they are receiving information that the numbers are not really straight, and even the qualification of some people who are in the camps, not only from SPLA, but from all other parties, is not really the kind of forces or people or recruits who can really make a professional national army. So what is your comment about these observations?
Well, I think as far as we are concerned, we are integrating forces that that are rebel forces. And rebel forces usually are never screened based on the internationally recognized standards. What is there now is that we want to first integrate the forces. The observation is correct in a sense that some of these personnel are not fit to be soldiers. Our belief is that once this phase of reintegration is over, that there will have to be a necessary exercise to be carried out probably after the elections, where a real national army can be selected and retire those who are not fit to be in the armed forces.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that being said, now the expectation is that we had statements from officials that these forces will be sent to hotspot around the country. For the SPLA, I mean, is that the correct action or is that the correct movement and decision?
No, I think once you have the organized forces, the integrated forces, once they have graduated, they definitely will be deployed. And the deployment is not necessarily in where there are hot spots, but they will be stationed based on military strategic analysis where they will be most useful. Yes, definitely where there are where there might be insecurity in certain parts of the country, there will definitely be security deployments there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Honorable Peter Lambos, how do you look at the partnership with other political parties or entities so far? Because we have been experiencing also reports that there are a little bit of misunderstandings, especially at the level of state governments mostly. We have not seen much here at the national level, but at the state level, it seems there are big issues. What is your comment?
Well, the big issue is that when you have a state government that is led by an opposition, especially opposition do not have a lot of presence in many states, and as a result of being in the top of the government, they try to undermine other parties that are working together with them, and that creates a power struggle among the parties in the agreement, especially in our case now between SPLM and IO. We have witnessed that in Upper Nile, we witnessed that in Western Equatoria, and even in Jonglei State, where the partnership is between SWA and the SPLM. Western Barghazal is also another hot spot. So these are things that we say as partners to the peace agreement, that we should have an understanding of working together. And working together does not mean that you don't organize your party. You are authorized to organize your party, but not at the expense of others. I think that is the lack of experience of how to manage conflict. That is what you are seeing.
But also the same can be said about where the SPLM is leading is a majority, but also that reports that SPLM is not giving enough room for the other partners to breathe and also show their political weight in those states, and this has been reported many times.
I think, Gabriel, that is not correct. There is no place in this country where SPLM is in governor position, where the opposition parties have been beaten, have been prevented from registration or holding the rallies. What is being reported is just to counteract what we are saying as SPLM. And we have examples of states and counties where, up to now, the SPLM county commissioners have not taken up their positions in the states that are occupied by IO. And Dr. Riaga and his party are not saying anything. Give me an example where IO did not take their position in this country.
There were kind of like, we have this case in Western Equatoria, in which even your people moved out of the government, and they complained that the governor was not collaborating with them. But you are the biggest party in the state.
No, being big without power is the same as not being big at all. The governor is the one with everything in his hands. There was issues where our party was holding a rally in Anzara, and our deputy governor, who is the chair of the SPLM, was invited to attend the rally in Anzara. And governor sent forces and they stopped him on the road and returned him back to Yambio. This is one of the examples where we say that IO is violating the agreement. But we have been saying it and nobody seems to listen, because they think that it is IO that should be complaining. But we are the ones complaining, because we are the ones being mistreated.
And I hope the news coming out that the issue has been resolved is in place and they are back to normalcy.
Yes, I think we have intervened. Had we not intervened earlier as SPLM, the situation would have escalated. We intervened in the sense that those who were saying that their salaries were cut by 30%, who decided to stay home and not go to the government operations or government offices, we asked them to stay home, not to go to the streets, because the idea was for them to go to the streets and make demonstrations, which could have spiral into something else. A team from the Council of States was sent to Western Equatoria to investigate the problems, and they managed to return the 30% that was cut and returned back to the workers, and that's why people went back to work.
Is when you speak about SPLM in government, SPLM IO, with the understanding that every party is represented in this agreement, does it indicate that both of you are not giving any weight to the other partners in the government at the state levels?
No, we do give weight, and where SPLM-IO is not in control, it is our responsibility as SPLM to protect their rights, and we have done that in many, many states, where we go to our counties and say to people that allow the SPLM-IO commissioner to operate because we are implementing an agreement. And it has not happened. The IO did not take us to Akobo. The IO did not take us to Panyigiar. And when our county chairperson arrived there, they arrested 34 people and beat the county commissioner to the level of being taken to the hospital. So these are some of the cases that are so disheartening in the implementation of this agreement.
But the question is, where are you taking all these? Where are you taking them as a matter of reporting and tackling and discussing? Because in the end of the day, they must be brought to table and be discussed.
They are, and violations of, especially of the rights of the SPLM cadres in the country have been presented to our leadership and have been presented to Political Bureau, which has forwarded these discussions to the meeting of the presidency. Because it is the presidency now that is the highest organ that can look into these kinds of situations. But also presidency is partisan, in a sense that certain leaders within presidency do not advise their parties in the ground to say that please walk the line of the agreement. So this is where we stop. But I don't think that we are very good as SPLM at reporting globally that we are being mistreated by IO, because I think many people wouldn't believe that, because they have already taken the position of the smaller parties is always the victim, but they don't know that big person can also be a victim.
Can be affected. now the general look on the general view also about the political perspectives in the country, the whole thing is like being pushed towards democratization, but democratization also amid accepting pluralism. And it seems in the general picture, can we say that South Sudanese are not ready for pluralism at the moment? That is why there is uneasiness among the partners not to accept the existence of this or that in their assumed strong territories.
I don't think it is that South Sudanese are not ready. South Sudanese cultures by definition are democratic.
So it's about the political leaders.
And so therefore I think what is there is lack of understanding political pluralism, because they don't connect it to their traditional democracy. If it were to be connected, they would understand that we are very democratic by nature. We sit together, discuss our issues and agree. What is there now is that politics in South Sudan has become a struggle for positions, and that is what is really creating wrangling within the political atmosphere in our country.
Mm.
Not because of lack of willingness to embrace democracy.
So it's both ways, like it's a chicken and egg thing. Where do you start it?
Well, I think first it must start with education. Mm. And with accepting that when you have a political party, you organize yourself, you be ready for elections, and you accept the elections results, comes what may, whether it is a win or a loss, you must accept it. That is the most important part of democracy.
Mm.
Because most African parties go to elections with the understanding that they must win. If they don't win, it is rigged or something is wrong, which is unacceptable.
So are we, after the interim period, are we somewhere near that acceptance you are speaking about?
I think that you will have to have a lot of preparation, and you will also need to bring the international community on board, because it is what the international community would say that will give credibility to the upcoming elections. If the international community becomes cynical or a little bit aloof from the process in South Sudan, then it will give room for those who will lose elections to claim more, thinking that they might get sympathy somewhere.
Mm.
But the win must be with a clear majority. And this is what I always tell my party comrades, that SPLM must organize to win with a very clear majority, because if we don't, both nationally and internationally, people can always say that there is a rigging. So let us have a very high win so that people have no reason to doubt what has happened.
With the critique of the political development in South Sudan, some of us who were following in academically or getting second-hand information from books and all this, we used to have a democracy here, even when the general picture of the Sudan was dictatorship.
Mm.
And we enjoyed, and that is why some people are saying the Sudanese were disgruntled because Nimeiri gave us freedom here to run democratic elections and all, but they were being oppressed in the north. That's why they came in and sabotaged the democracy that was coming up in South Sudan. But now another picture has come in, and people are saying South Sudanese have even abandoned political parties, and they have gone back to their communities. You call it community councils, community associations, community groups. And they are making these bodies, which are ethnically based or geographically based, as political vehicles.
Yeah, and I think that is a fair assessment. You know, our leaders in the 1970s were nationalist leaders. They were ideologically oriented, and they were focused on what they wanted to achieve, as opposed to the current system of people that we have today. The people that we have today most of them don't have ideology. They enter into politics with the understanding that they want to benefit from it personally rather than to benefit the public, and they don't have the vision of where they want to take people. That is why you see them, either it is their way or it is the highway. Either they benefit or South Sudan can go to a very unnecessary place. So I think that assessment is correct. but it is due to this fragmentation of lack of ideology that people go back to their communities and say that my community. If the moment you talk about your community, it means that you are ideologically bankrupt and you cannot lead the country. And so therefore, as a result, we disintegrated into having to fight communal wars, which was unnecessary.
What does it take for political parties to get back to the forefront and become the real structures in which people come and join in any kind of political activism instead of using their communities?
You know, they have to embrace political party systems. The political party has its own culture. It has nothing to do with your community. It has something to do with the objectives for which you want to see your country into the future. And once that becomes the ideology, the inculcated ideology into the minds of our people, then political leadership will be well established in South Sudan, and communities will now be following what is happening, rather than communities being the leaders of the country.
Listeners to Radio Mirai, this is me, Gabriel Shadar, and this is Nationwide Discussion Hour. And with me in the studio is the acting SPLM Secretary General, Honorable Peter Lamboth, and he is with me here in the studio. And we are looking at the implementation of the peace agreement, looking at what comes after the extension of the interim period, which will be coming in February 2023 and will continue up to February 2025. And we have just had an update on how the security arrangements and also the other situation, political situation, is ongoing, especially at the level of state. And we have just had a question about where are we heading in terms of being ready to accept pluralism in the country and also multi-party system in which people can vie for power, contest for power with political parties and ideologies, instead of just using their community-based groupings as a vehicle to contest for power. Let us continue after this interlude.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
And of course, we are continuing with this discussion on Nationwide program on Radio Mirai. With me, Gabriel Shadar. With me in the studio is the acting SPLM Secretary General, Honorable Peter Lamboth. Now, let's come to the second topic in this discussion, is the recent announcement of the political bureau of the SPLM that it will be holding its National Liberation Council to decide on a number of issues, including changes in some leadership positions. And the move was somehow criticized as controversial or not in the right time, while others considered it as legitimate. So where do things stand as we speak now about this?
Well, thank you very much. Early this year, as you know, the SPLM started a reorganization process all over the country, from our Bumas, Payams, county and state levels. And we have completed that process, and we have been coming up slowly until the national level. In our political bureau meeting of October 20th, the political bureau decided that it must now complete the process. And by that it means that in the National Liberation Council membership of the SPLM, we have had people who have passed away, we have had people who have defected or formed their own parties, we have people who have been incapacitated for various reasons. And so the political bureau has authorized the SPLM in the states to replace those people who meet the criteria that I just described. And those states and the administrative areas have done that. So they have submitted their replacements. And in the next political bureau meeting, a decision will be made on that, and once it is made, it will be passed to the National Liberation Council for final approval. Among those, of course, is the fact that we need to complete the structures of the party. At this point in time, since 2013, the position of Secretary General, the position of the first deputy chair of the SPLM have been vacant. And the SPLM has been waiting for the return of those senior cadres to come back to their positions in accordance with the Arusha Agreement. But now the time is coming for reorganization of the party, and those Arusha partners, signatories to the Arusha Agreement, most of whom have returned, they are now back to their previous positions. And I think that once the PB meets and the NLC meets, they will make a final determination on this process. So what happened last time, you know, on October 20, was a proposal. It was not a dismissal. It was a proposal to authorize the chairman to complete the structures of the party.
I would like to understand, how does it happen? Like, let us take it from the lowest levels, changing people at the lowest levels in the county and the state and all these. Does it happen democratically? People sit and discuss and vote, or it depends on whoever is leading the party at that level at that time to decide who should come in?
No, in 2008 we held congresses, and these congresses are what established the SPLM structures. Those who were elected in 2008 are still in their positions. But if somebody has died or anything happened to them, we ask the same constituency to bring or elect somebody from the same constituency to represent them. This is a temporary arrangement because next year we are going for new congresses as a party. We'll go for primary elections within the SPLM and all the way from grassroots all the way to the leadership. And that is where the real competition will take place. Right now, we were trying to return the party back because after 32 states, the SPLM structures were completely demobilized. And therefore, we had to bring it back to where it used to be. And that would be where we start next year to organize our party.
And I remember this reorganization came after the dissolution of the bodies some years back, and then you were asked to reorganize, and now we have reached a peak where the top leadership, like including the Secretary General and the first deputy, needs to be filled. For the case of Pagan, let us begin with the case of Pagan Amom. He came back to the country and he stayed for a few months and he left the country. He stayed here, but it seems there was a delay in his reappointment as SPLM Secretary General.
No,
what happened?
No. Mm-hmm. Pagan Amom came to Juba on 25th of June 2015. And he was sworn in as the Secretary General the same day, after the National Liberation Council was called, the same day. And next day he went to Nairobi with the President when they were called by President Kenyatta. That was during the discussion of the ASIS. After that, they went to Addis Ababa to sign the agreement. And he decided to sign on behalf of FDs, even though he was the Secretary General of the SPLM. And then he decided not to return back to the country. And that is the whole story. So there was never a time for delay for him. The day he came, he was sworn in the same day. I wanted to correct that.
So what is your rapprochement with him? He's completely opting out of SPLM, or... What is his position for you?
As far as we are concerned, anybody who is interested to return to the country, to return to the SPLM, has done so. And those who are progressively following their own parties, organizing their own parties, have made a decision that they are not coming back. If they are coming back, they still have few days to do that. Nobody blocks out anyone. But we will not allow SPLM to be held hostage by those who are organizing themselves and at the same time keeping SPLM hostage so that SPLM is not organized. That kind of theory we will not accept.
Now, the big issue and the debate was going on here about the first deputy of the chairman of the SPLM. Mm. We had exchanges happening here and there that, okay, the political bureau is not the right body, we are still members of the SPLM, no, you are not member of SPLM and all these kind of things. So, can we have another explanation as to where things stand now? Because Riek Machar's party or group or faction has responded that they are still members of SPLM. They are just a faction of SPLM. But so how do we stand? Yeah.
There is nothing called a faction within the party. We are guided by a constitution of the SPLM. Article 10 is all about membership of the SPLM. The day you have committed subversive activities against the party, the day you have formed your own party, that is the day you are supposed to be dismissed from the party. So all of them, whether it is IO or Comrade Pagan with the real SPLM, they all know that. For that reason, Pagan cannot talk, because he knows the law. And so those who are saying that Riak is still a member of SPLM, they are making a case out of nothing. Even Dr. Riak knows that. But I think if he is claiming Arusha agreement, he has time to come now. Nobody has said don't come. But if he doesn't come tomorrow, then we cannot be blamed.
Tomorrow is the time you would be sitting to decide.
I'm saying that tomorrow means it is a near future. It can be after a week or 2 weeks, but it is for him to decide. I think that it was unreasonable for because the message is not even to the SPLM. The message that he was sending is to IO members. What do IO people, what is he saying to IO? Is he saying that there's no IO now and that all of them are coming to SPLM? Is it something that they have discussed, or is this a position of a leader? So I think the IO people should be worried more than us, because as far as we are concerned, we have an SPLM and that is it.
The conflict has created, and you know very well, the conflict has created other dynamics, because many people who are not SPLM joined politics after the conflict 2013, and they became active. They were not SPLM before the conflict, but they joined the wagon. They jumped on the wagon, including the new movements and parties that came in. They jumped on the political wagon to become political activists. So in case, suppose Riek Machar comes in, and now he has more people who are not really SPLM when the war broke out, what will be the solution to that?
No, I think if people want to return to the SPLM, the idea is that you come and register yourself. The persons that are covered by the Arusha agreement are senior leaders of the party, not individuals who are in different parties right now. Mm. So whoever wants to come can come and we register as a member of the SPLM. There is no question about that. Yes, the war of 2013 created a lot of parties, and that is because really the main reason for that war was fighting to get back to the government. So everybody wants to have a party in order to have that kind of power sharing, where you need to be included. And I think the revitalization spirit was a reflection of that. Many parties have now grown up in South Sudan. Most of, I think, about 60 something now that call themselves political parties.
Yeah, 64.
Parties.
Yeah.
64 that call themselves political. And there are new ones that I'm hearing about today also. So there will be more parties until we go, when the time for elections come. This is where now you may have only three parties going for the elections.
Mm. Yeah. Listeners, Radio Miraya, this is me, Gabriel Shadar, and this is Nationwide Discussion Hour on Radio Miraya. And with me in the studio is the SPLM, is the Acting Secretary General of the SPLM, Honorable Peter Lamboth, and we are talking about the political developments in the country, and we have just concluded the discussion on the point of the political bureau that is deciding on to reorganize the party's political structures and also maybe administrative structures, and we have just heard his point of view about the debate over the positions of the Secretary General and the Deputy First Secretary. But I just want to add another question. It's like, in case you want to refill these two positions, how do you fill them? People from your party get seconded, or they apply? There is what happens?
For the Secretary General, there is always a competition within national members of the National Liberation Council. Whoever is interested can apply, and a competition takes place. The same thing for the three top positions, the chair and two deputies. The competition is always at the level of convention. What we are talking about now is an interim arrangement towards the convention. And so when we go for the convention next year, this is where now the elections will take place. Whoever is interested in the position of the first deputy or the second deputy or the chairman will do that. Although now the PB meeting of the SPLM last on October 20th has unanimously nominated Comrade Salfa for the third convention. So this is how it is done. It is not any other way.
Mm. So the Liberation Council will just put names on the table. These are the potential.
Those who want to apply.
Those who want to apply, and then they follow the procedures. They got seconded whatsoever, and admitted according to your procedures. Then the real contest is in the convention. That's what you are saying.
The contest for the three positions, the chairman, the two deputies, is elected by convention.
Yeah.
But the Secretary General is elected by National Liberation Council.
So you can decide in the Liberation Council on the position of the Secretary General.
Yes, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that.
So can you say that there are also people who are showing their hands?
Absolutely. This is a free position for anyone. Mm-hmm. And I think we are encouraging our comrades to declare interest there.
Including yourself.
Of course, I'm now sitting here, and if it becomes necessary and I see that I have the support, why not?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Listeners, Radio Mira, we are continuing this discussion with the SPLM Secretary General, Acting Secretary General, Peter Lambos. Now, we are back to the peace agreement, of course. This is all related to the peace in the country, of course, because peace in the SPLM in one way means peace in the country in one way or another. Now, as you are implementing the peace agreement, a lot of things are happening in the country. People are complaining about violence, communal violence taking place in several parts of the country. You start from Equatorial region here, is a conflict between cattle herders and farming communities. In the backdrop of climatic changes, ecological changes, and all that of things. You have the conflict in between the Ngok people and the Twitch people, and you have the cattle raiding events in Jonglei areas. You have the Kitgwang groups fighting there. You have the conflict in different parts of Warab. So why is it all happening this way, when we are supposed to enjoy peace and when we are supposed to have all the political leaders in the same government from the different political parties? We are supposed to have stability.
You know, Gabriel, there is no war without violence. Once war has happened in a country, the result is lawlessness. And our security forces are engaged in fighting with opposition. And by that it means the communities are left to their own. And communities have acquired a lot of weapons. And they are settling their own disputes among themselves. They are more powerful than the local governments that are operating in the areas. So for that reason, you will always see that there is violence. People are going from community to community taking cattle. And now the cattle rustling has turned to be lethal. It's now about killing the cattle owners before you take the cattle. And you have the cattle movements in Equatoria. I don't agree with the theory which says that people of Jonglei or Upper Nile people are pastoralists, because they are pastoralists and at the same time they are farmers. And they have their own farms. And their cattle do not eat crops in Upper Nile. So why would anybody allow his cows to eat the crops in Equatoria? That is wrong. And that is because somebody is carrying a gun. If there is no gun, there would be no reason for any cow to go to somebody's farm. So I think that once the peace has come closer to us in terms of this unification of forces, we are going to have a stronger government than what it has been. And it will now be engaged to ensure that peace prevails by conducting disarmament and by conducting mediations among the communities. We are hopeful that next year will be better than this year, because we are going to have forces that are organized, forces that are integrated, and that will be working together rather than working to undermine one another.
Mm. The SPLM also, especially where it is a majority, seems to be facing problems among their members, the leaders of those of these areas who are SPLM, and it seems their efforts are not helping arrest some of these communal fights.
Well, as I said to you, now what is operating in our country is the power of persuasion, because county commissioners do not have the necessary armed forces to stop violence among communities. They would rather engage in peaceful dialogue among communities to stop violence. I don't think that the SPLM leaders themselves are the ones who are causing this crisis, because if they were, we would have known, and they would have been addressed immediately. But lawlessness is the result of war in the country.
As we are approaching the last 5 minutes of the program, here are some of the questions from listeners, and most of them might be not really directed to the SPLM, but it might be because you are in the government, they might ask those questions. So this is Ngor Kur Akwe from Yargod, from Northern Bangazai. Say, why is the government graduated unified forces, not deployed them in places that have insecurity? And another one is Malwal, Mading Malwal Alung from High Referendum. It says, in South Sudan, people don't learn from previous mistakes. We have wasting resources on wrong priorities. And we brought tractors. They didn't improve our food security. We inflated our payroll with ghost names. It didn't improve our country. We fought tribal wars and inflated our military ranks. They didn't secure our peace. We denied our military to have salaries. They resorted to destruction of forest area in living. When will we learn? That is a rhetorical question from him. Also, what is your clarification to those who called SPLM IG instead of SPLM, and who is not in the government among these parties? Because as member of a mighty party, SPLM, I also want to call SPLM IO in IG and SSOA in government, and also opposition in government. That is for Mayan Lul, Ngor in a will. And so most of the questions about the graduation of forces, no payment, no deployment, and all this. Yes.
Okay. Welcome. Well, thank you very much. I think the listeners have captured the spirit of many people in South Sudan. I would say that the deployment of forces will come. It is a gradual process. I think you are all aware that a unified force has been taken to Abyei area to stop the conflict between Twitch and Abyei. And so it will continue to be like that. Once forces are graduated, they are no longer forces or political parties, but they are national army. The fact that South Sudanese people don't learn from their past, I think I agree with him, in a sense that some of our people who have really participated in creation of disunity in the country in the past are the ones that are continuing to do it, even though they know that it really destroys our people. That is so unacceptable. In terms of the naming, SPLM is SPLM. It's not SPLM-IG. Nobody in the SPLM or in the SPLM institutions have ever renamed our party as SPLM-IG. It was during the negotiation that the mediators wanted to differentiate between SPLM groups, and they created SPLM-IG, that is only for themselves. But as far as legal terms is concerned, SPLM is SPLM. Mm-hmm. There is no I or anything. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not.
Let's get your closing remarks about the prospects of the peace agreement in South Sudan, and also for the SPLM restructure.
Well, thank you very much. I first want to say thank you to the listeners, and I want to also say thank you to our people, the people of South Sudan, who have really been enduring this painful process of implementing the agreement. We want them to continue to be patient, because implementation of agreements are never a straight line. They are always ups and downs. I also want our people to know that peace has come, and that there is no party that is interested in the return to war. We want them to help us complete this process and to take us to the elections peacefully. The SPLM promise is that we want the people of South Sudan to make their own choices in the next election, and that whoever they bring, the SPLM will respect, whether it is ours or somebody else. As far as that is the choice of the people, we are going to honor that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Peter Lambos, the Acting SPLM Secretary General, for your time. A pleasure listening to you, and we hope you have clarified a lot of things to our listeners. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that is the end of today's discussion hour on a Nationwide Program with me, Gabriel Shadar. Thanks for listening.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Mirai.